conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. To start off today, some remarks on some of our current events, most notably the nationwide campus student and outside paid agitators protesting and rioting, supposedly for Palestinian rights, with anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli violence. Finally, caving to public pressure, authorities on campuses across the country are cracking down on violent demonstrations, obstructive campsites, and vandalism. But these demonstrations, often supported by faculty and leftist operatives, continue. Meantime, the Biden administration is withholding or threatening to withhold vital precision munitions and other military aid Israel needs to launch its military operation to destroy the reported last remaining Hamas battalions in southern Gaza. I don't want to see the Palestinian people or anyone else suffer as they are with the horrendous destruction going on in that conflict. But they did supposedly legitimately vote into power Hamas terrorists pledged to annihilate all Jews. And I would say, eventually, all of Western civilization as well. As one Israeli commentator recently stated, Israel has a history of winning wars and then losing the peace that comes afterward by being forced to make concessions to their bitter, implacable enemies. That appears to be what is happening now. There is also mounting concern here in the U.S. that the lawless Biden regime is planning to bring hundreds of thousands of unvetted Palestinian refugees into the U.S., along with the many millions from other countries they are paying with billions of your tax dollars to come here from around the world. It's time we stopped fooling ourselves with the rhetoric of our neo-communist current national leaders who say these millions of illegal aliens being brought here from around the world, including tens of thousands now every few weeks from communist China. Many of them are believed to be members of China's People's Liberation Army and spies and saboteurs. As I said, thanks to billions of your tax dollars, these people are arriving monthly in ever-increasing numbers. And those who are Chinese nationals, with considerable aid as well from the communist Chinese government. Now, why would they be doing that, huh? Now, again, as I always caution, I am not calling for violence or illegality in expressing my opposition to the government-sanctioned lawlessness we are seeing at the border, and among other things. But we have to know the people we are dealing with if we are ever going to be able to effectively defeat them politically and take back America, which is intentionally being destroyed in order to bring about our eventual handover and enslavement to the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. At least that's what I believe. And this is being accomplished with its allies, including the greedy and incredibly stupid American and other Western oligarch globalists and totalitarian-worshipping functionaries of the United Nations, which is largely running Biden's border invasion, UN-aligned non-governmental organizations, also known as NGOs, and the World Economic Forum. Excuse me. You have to remember that Joe Biden and company, like other totalitarian and totalitarian-supporting crazies, live by the lie and the trick. They make utterances meant for public consumption, relying on control of information. What they say publicly is often the opposite of their true intention. So, for totalitarians, lies are called truth. Hate is called love, or defending democracy, etc. War is peace. And perhaps most tellingly, our enslavement, we are constantly told, is actually freedom. Joe Biden, his partner in crime, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and the rest of the rabble making up the Biden regime and its allies and handlers claim they stand with Israel. But in reality, their big corporate donors with their trillions invested in China demand that these people serve the interests of their masters, the CCP, its close ally and trade partner, Iran, and in turn, Iran's proxy, Hamas. So this is done wherever and whenever they can get away with it. All right, let's move on to our first video clip on today's program. Here's commentary on this campus violence issue from Natalie Winters on former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's War Room program, April 29.
Winters, as you know, because you've been doing some work on this, it's funded by your favorite guy, George Soros, or people around him. Natalie Winters, your thoughts on this? You've just been at one of the great universities in the country. You know how this, the problem's not the kids. They're bad. The attitudes are bad, but they're a symptom of the problem. The problem is in the faculty lounge and in the administration. Natalie Winters.
Yeah, they don't want to touch it because they own it. It's an uncomfortable fact. But these kids are not just useful idiots. The people who you're seeing on these college campuses, let's call them what they are. They are insurgents. These are people who have ties to Hamas, are funded by left-wing groups here in the United States. And Steve, the issue here is that I think for so long, right, we've talked about a cultural revolution going on here in the United States. And for the most part, it's sort of stayed in the Chinese Communist Party style of unrestricted warfare, right? It's been information warfare. I know I live that every single day going to the University of Chicago and the drivel that they teach you in these classrooms. But what you're seeing to some extent is that it's turning kinetic. And when you tell these kids, when you amp them up day after day, that the dichotomy of history should be looked at through the lens of the oppressor versus the oppressed, and that it is on your shoulders to do something to change that, no wonder why these kids are out there protesting. But you're so right. It's not actually about Israel. It's not really even about Palestine. These are the same people who are out there for the Black Lives Matter stuff. They're the same people who are out there for the Charlottesville stuff. Insert whatever crisis it is at the moment. This is about people who fundamentally do not support a world order where America is on top. Make no mistake, the Chinese Communist Party supports these groups. They don't support Israel. They view America as the oppressor. And this is just another issue, one in a quiver of arrows that they've been using to go after the United States. And for people like Jake Tapper and the mainstream media to sit there and say that this, oh, well, there are good people on both sides. They're funding people on both sides, right? I mean, when you go through the numbers, it's not just that George Soros, through a bunch of these shady organizations, they're funneling money to a lot of these groups, whether it's the SJP, the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, Students for Justice in Palestine. But in some cases, I want to read you the direct quote, Steve, because it's worth hearing. One of the groups, the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, is paying people up to $7,800. Those are for community-based fellows. And around $3,000 for campus-based fellows who are expected to spend 8 hours per week organizing, quote, campaigns led by Palestinian organizations and are trained to, quote, rise up to revolution. I know you in the White House, your one regret was not going after the Muslim Brotherhood stronger, but this is something so much more sinister than just the Israel-Palestine debate. This is about fundamentally reorienting the global and economic world order so that America is no longer on top and these people have strong allies and strange bedfellows in the Chinese Communist Party, whether it's the mullahs in Iran or even frankly what's going on in Russia. And for the mainstream media to approach this how they're doing, that cold that you showed, shows you how they fundamentally are misdiagnosing the problem. But frankly, Steve, conservative media is misdiagnosing it too, because the issue here, do not miss the forest for the trees. This is not just an Israel-Palestine conflict. This is a broader neo-Marxist takeover that has been going on since the 50s with the Frankfurt School. You name it, yes. It's ripped through this country. It's ripped through this institution. And now it's turning kinetic. You know why, Steve? Because no one on Capitol Hill, no Republican Republicans want to do anything about it, the first thing that they should have done when we won the majority was subpoena and go after Arabella Advisors, go after the Open Society Foundation, go after the Tides Foundation, go after these groups and spare me the stupid subcommittees exposing what China's going to do. We know what China wants to do. The Chinese Communist Party wants to take over the United States, infiltration, not invasion, with camps just like those that they're setting up on college campuses. We have feckless Republicans. Mike Johnson will go and give a horrible 10-minute speech saying, kumbaya, we need unity. We don't need unity. These people need to go in prison and throw away the keys because they're terrorists and they're traitors and they hate this country. And what's starting in college campuses is going to expand much further. I'd say just look at what the Frankfurt School has done to all of American culture, because that's what they're doing right now. It's starting with these stupid little tech camps on Columbia and Harvard and the University of Chicago, UT Austin, spreading to the lower tier schools. But it's going to come to a neighborhood near you, because these people have never been sufficient with just going after students and families and the nuclear family. It's always been a broader effort.
Here's more perspective on our current nationwide campus unrest. This is from the Tom Nash Report on YouTube, also on April 29. If I understand him correctly, Tom Nash said that name is a pseudonym, but he doesn't want to reveal his true identity. He states he is Russian, or he was born in Russia. Quite sure he's an American citizen. I'm not sure if he's Jewish, but he seems to have some insightful and unique information and views on Israel, the Middle East, and the current war with Hamas.
Show me the incentive. I'll show you the behavior. And I'm sorry for my voice being a little bit screwed up, but we have to make this video. So what would you say if I told you that the entire Ivy League school system has been funded for years, for over a decade, by foreign governments? And mostly, these same institutions have lied about it and did not disclose it. I'm betting you're going to be pretty pissed off about it. Well, I was when I found out about this shit as well. So check this out. As we're seeing these protests and encampments in Colombia and other schools, all these pro-terrorist organizations being funded by the universities, being supported by the universities, being allowed to exhibit support for terrorism on their campuses by the universities, I was starting to wonder, what the hell is going on here? Why are these universities are facilitating that kind of behavior that we're seeing in Colombia and other places? And then I went down the rabbit hole to find this. And you absolutely have to hear about this, because this is going to blow your mind. So check this out. So according to the law in the United States, if a university gets a donation of $250,000 or above by a foreign government, they have to disclose it. But the universities in the U.S. for years and years and years have been receiving more than this amount. And when you're going to hear how much more, your head is literally going to explode. We're talking about billions. And they have not disclosed it, because they claimed that it was not foreign governments, it was private companies like the Qatar Fund, a fund that was established in 1995 by the Emir of Qatar, literally to do this shit. So let's break it down. So since 2012, over $12 billion were funneled into U.S. schools from foreign governments. And I raise only one question. Why? Why would foreign governments, and the top three are Qatar, China, and Saudi Arabia, why would foreign governments would spend $12 billion on funding U.S. universities and colleges? Why? I just have to warn you here that $12 billion we're talking about here, that is just the amount that was basically discovered, because this thing was the result of an investigation by the FBI into the universities, which disclosed all the stuff retroactively. So if the FBI does not catch on to this, we don't even know about this. So the $12 billion that we're talking about, that's the $12 billion we know about. How much more went through these universities, indirectly, secretly, illegally, with loopholes, we don't know. But the amount may actually be in the tens of billions of dollars, the real amount. But let's just say it's $12 billion for the sake of the argument. I personally, and my dad has taught me this since I was pretty much 5 years old, there's no such thing as free gifts in life, unless it's from your family. With the exception of your family, anybody who's giving you a gift, that gift, that shit comes with strings attached, unless it's your fucking birthday. And since they're saying about birthday parties over here, this thing is not a free gift. It's definitely coming with strings attached. The other questions I have are mainly for the universities, Ivy League schools. If this was legitimate, if this was okay, why the fuck did you hit it? Why the fuck did you not disclose this? Why did you need the need to not tell anybody about this? Why did you feel the need to hide this and underreport and underdisclose? If this was okay, why was this hidden? Now, they're getting influence on the next generation of American journalists, of American politicians. They're getting influence on current affairs. Do you think that the current behavior of the U.S. administration does not even influence slightly by what's happening on the campuses, but what's happening in the U.S., in the university system, in the school system? You think that shit doesn't affect the way public discourse is being shaped in the United States? And I'm not even talking about the fact that this whole thing smells like espionage or intellectual property theft. I mean, if somebody's getting paid by the Chinese or the Iranians and they don't disclose and they work on research that's supposed to benefit the United States, a lot of questions here the U.S. government needs to look into. Now, obviously, the universities, they want the money. And they don't care how they get it because they need to get that money. I think that the failure here is by the U.S. governments. For many, many years, it's not about this administration or the previous administration. This has been going on for years, at the very least a decade. This is ideological war that's being waged against the United States. It's being waged on the campuses. It's being waged in the Middle East through allies like Israel. And now let me show you a little bit about who donates to these schools. For example, one donor, and a prominent one, is called the Qatar Foundation, a foundation that was established by the Emir of Qatar and who is literally set up to promote the works of Yusuf al-Qardawi, the prominent figure in the Muslim Brotherhood up until his death in 2022. They literally set up a research center after his name to promote his works. That's what the Qatar Foundation does. The father of violent jihad, the spiritual father of Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, this is the guy that is on their flag, and they are donating to U.S. schools to promote their ideology. Absolutely unbelievable. Now, for the past few years, we have over 100 universities and colleges that took those $12 billion from Qatar. And most of them did not even disclose it, claiming that the Qatar Foundation has nothing to do with the government of Qatar. Now, as of 2023, guys, as of 2023, I don't have recent data, but no country has donated more than Qatar to U.S. universities. What they've done is what they've been doing for the past few years with the U.S. They're buying influence. They're buying academia. They're buying opinions. And they fill it with anti-U.S., authoritarian, anti-democratic agenda, which is exactly why you're seeing the images that you're seeing right now from Columbia University. It's the same thing. Now, there's many other examples. For example, the Alavi Foundation, that's an Iranian fund that supports Shia Islam and the Iranian studies, and they donate as well. And they donated to Harvard and Columbia, and they promote Iranian crap. I mean, there's many others. There's the Chinese fund that basically sets up these centers that's called the Confucius Centers, which basically operate as a propaganda tool and a spy recruitment center for the Chinese government. I just wonder, what's the ROI, the return on investment that's required for a $12 billion donation over 10 years? How much influence and clout would you get? You don't keep paying for 10 years unless you're getting good enough return. So what I'm here to tell you guys, this isn't about Israel. This isn't about China and Taiwan. This isn't about Russia and Ukraine. This is about a national security issue right here. This is about a warfare that's being waged against the Western culture, against the Western way of life, against Europe, against the U.S. Israel is just one little speck in the massive, massive plan to absolutely destroy that culture. Now, the crazy part about this is these guys are paying U.S. universities to indoctrinate their own students in Muslim Brotherhood content, in Muslim Brotherhood doctrines. And while we're seeing this happening, we're doing nothing about this. We are literally the lobster that is being cooked alive, not doing a goddamn thing about it. And it's time we stop.
Now let's focus on our weaponized criminal justice system and what's being done to utterly destroy the livelihoods and careers of Trump and his top advisors and supporters, along with others who have questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 and later elections. To begin with, here's a video clip from an interview with John Eastman by former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters on her The Truth Matters show on frankspeech.com May 1. In the way of background, according to an article posted February 6 on the website cpr.org, quote, former Mesa County clerk Tina Peters, whose efforts to uncover evidence of election fraud on her office's election equipment have led to 10 criminal charges, will not be going to trial this month, end quote. The website states that due to Peters reorganizing her legal team, Mesa County District Court Judge Matthew Barnett delayed the start of the trial to late July. It seems that Peters had somehow illegally saved election data, which raised questions about the legitimacy of election integrity in her county. And the left-wing state attorney general, as I understand it, a George Soros-funded politician, led efforts to indict Peters on criminal charges related to her actions. According to the online encyclopedia Wikipedia, quote, John Charles Eastman is an American lawyer and academic who has been criminally indicted, ordered inactive by the State Bar of California, and recommended for disbarment for attempting to keep then-President Donald Trump in office and obstruct the certification of Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 United States presidential election. Eastman has lost eligibility to practice law in California state courts, pending his appeal of the state bar judge's ruling that recommended him for disbarment. Eastman is also a co-conspirator in the federal indictment brought against Trump over his attempts to subvert the 2020 election results and prevent the certification of Biden's election. Eastman was reported urging then-President Mike Pence to delay overseeing counting of electoral votes until a thorough investigation of the 2020 election fraud claims could be conducted. But Pence rejected that idea and oversaw the certification of Joe Biden as president. Again, as I understand it, the Constitution doesn't say the vice president has the authority to hold up certification, but it doesn't say the vice president can't do it either. Since this incident, Congress has passed legislation that requires the VP to conduct the electoral count regardless of such requests. Anyway, once again, we are seeing what I and many others consider persecution of Donald Trump and his top supporters for their roles in contesting the legitimacy of the 2020 election.
And welcome back to The Truth Matters, everyone. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays is having a field day with indictments. She just added 5 more Trump attorneys and aides to the list of people being indicted by a grand jury for what the mainstream media is calling, quote, the fake elector scheme, one of whom is John Eastman. Of course, what really went on was not a scheme at all. It was completely legal. The Republican electors in the state of Arizona had every right to reconvene and not fully trust the certified results. But the law was never the left's strong suit. They'll just lie and cheat until they get their way. Here is more to tell us about the indictment and everything else he's dealing with. A former constitutional law professor and senior at the Claremont Institute, John Eastman himself. John, great to have you.
Thanks very much, Tina, for having me on your program and for that very kind introduction.
You bet. You bet. You know, you've done a lot of things for this country, constitutionally stayed strong. I know you've helped us in Colorado get rid of some very bad law, and as far as for President Trump as well. And so with for all of that, you know, they say no good deed goes unpunished. Tell me what's going on with you right now.
Well, so yeah, so the other shoe dropped in Arizona this past week. It's starting to feel a little bit like I'm dealing with a centipede worth of shoes rather than just a normal biped, a human being. I've had, I don't know, I've lost count, 16, 17 different actions brought against me. Bar charges, criminal indictment in Georgia, unindicted co-conspirator in the Jack Smith matter against President Trump in D.C., subpoenaed by the J6 committee, my phone unconstitutionally seized and kept for nearly 2 years and running by the FBI. They really don't want to hear from anybody that raises questions about the 2020 election. But what came down last week in Arizona was this claim that the electors were fake, right? This is a media-driven narrative. They weren't fake. They were alternate electors. And I mean, this is in my area, my wheelhouse of expertise. And let me explain why what they did was not only appropriate, but necessary. In 1856, let me back up one step further. The founders did not want to give Congress any role in choosing the president because that would destroy separation of powers. So that's why the state legislatures have authority to direct the manner for choosing presidential electors. And even when you get to the joint session of Congress and the electors' votes are opened, it's the vice president that opens those in the presence of the House and Senate. They're not to have a role. But the one power that Congress is given is to set the date for the election and set the date for when the electors meet and cast their votes. And the Constitution requires that day to be the same throughout the United States. In 1856, there was a blizzard up in Wisconsin, and the electors weren't able to meet on the designated day. There was a huge dispute in Congress whether those votes could be counted. The president pro tem of the Senate, serving in the role as vice president, counted the votes, and then for 3 days, Congress debated whether that was legal or not. They never resolved the issue. They tabled it because the outcome of the election didn't turn on those particular votes. But it remains an open question in constitutional law. If electors don't meet on the designated day, can those votes be counted? And in each of the swing states, there was still pending litigation that if it had gone President Trump's way and he the actual winner of those states, there's a serious question if the electors hadn't met on the designated day and cast their contingent votes, that those votes could not be counted. And that's why Ken Chesbrough and others gave them the legal advice to meet and cast their votes. What's surprising to me is that I'm involved in Arizona at all. I had nothing to do with Arizona. Didn't have any communications with the electors. I'm not saying anything out of school here. The Attorney General apparently has all of the records and should know that as well. And I wasn't involved in any of the Arizona litigation. But I guess I've become a prominent national figure on this subject because I continue to insist there was illegality in the election and that we really need to fix it. We need to address it. We can't ignore it. And that makes me a target. And I think that's why I'm named in addition to the electors down in Arizona.
And I'll agree with that. You are speaking out, and so they want to take you down. But you're a man of courage, and you're not someone that's easily taken down, especially when you know the Constitution the way you do.
Well, Tina, coming from you and the courage that you're exhibiting, both for your family and your Gold Star status, but also the courage in exposing illegality in Colorado, is coming from you. That's a great compliment. I appreciate it.
You know, we're in a war. We're in a fight to save this country. And so tell us where we go from here. So they've tried to, they actually have disbarred you, but I don't think there's the last word on that. What happens next?
So let me give you an update on that. I've not actually been disbarred. The trial court judge, after a 10-week hearing, which was the longest and most expensive in bar history, as one commentator assessed, she doesn't have authority to disbar me or suspend me. She only has authority to make a recommendation. only the California Supreme Court can act on that recommendation or reject that recommendation. And the appeal process to have them look at it is already underway. But in the interim, when she recommends disbarment, that results in an automatic triggering of involuntary active enrollment, which has the effect of being suspended in California. I remain an active member of the DC bar, although that's probably to change fairly quickly. And I remain an active member of the Supreme Court bar. And the Supreme Court has very clearly told the lower federal courts that you cannot simply comply with or follow state disciplinary decisions. You have to conduct an independent review of the record yourselves. And so we're going to ask the federal courts to conduct that independent review. And the egregious violations of my First Amendment rights, my due process rights that this recommendation manifested will be front and center in those federal courts.
Finally today, here's a recent interview by former Trump advisor Steve Bannon with retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Again, according to Wikipedia, quote, Michael Thomas Flynn is a controversial retired United States Army Lieutenant General and pardoned felon who was the 24th U.S. National Security Advisor for the first 22 days of the Trump administration. He resigned in light of reports that he had lied regarding conversations with Russian Ambassador to the United States, Sergei Kislyak. Flynn's military career included a key role in shaping U.S. counterterrorism strategy and dismantling insurgent networks in Afghanistan and Iraq wars. And he was given numerous combat arms, conventional, and special operations senior intelligence assignments. He became the 18th director of the Defense Intelligence Agency in July 2012 until his forced retirement from the military in August 2014. Flynn was sworn in as the National Security Advisor on February 13, 2017. He resigned after information surfaced that he had misled Vice President Mike Pence and others about the nature and content of his communications with Kislyak. Flynn's tenure as a National Security Advisor is the shortest in the history of the position. And the quote continues on, in December 2017, Flynn formalized a deal with Special Counsel Robert Mueller to plead guilty to a felony count of willfully and knowingly making false statements to the FBI about the Kislyak communications and agreed to cooperate with the special counsel's investigation. In July 2019, Flynn dismissed his attorneys and retained Sidney Powell, who on the same day wrote to Attorney General Bill Barr seeking his assistance in exonerating Flynn. Powell had discussed the case on Fox News and spoken to President Trump about it on several occasions. 2 weeks before his scheduled sentencing on January 2020, Flynn moved to withdraw his guilty plea, claiming government vindictiveness and breach of the plea agreement. At Barr's direction, the Justice Department filed a court motion to drop all charges against Flynn on May 7, 2020. Presiding federal judge Emmett Sullivan, you may have heard of him, ruled the matter to be placed on hold to solicit amicus curiae briefs from third parties. Powell then asked the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals to compel Sullivan to drop the case, but her request was denied. Flynn was issued a presidential pardon by Trump. On December 8, 2020, Judge Sullivan dismissed the criminal case against Flynn, stating he probably would have denied the Justice Department motion to drop the case.
Introduced by this country, General Mike Flynn joins us. General Flynn, your thoughts on this Marxist kind of revolt we're facing, both in the courtroom and on the streets. You're an expert in irregular warfare, unrestricted warfare. Your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, so first of all, Steve, thanks for having me on. Here's where our country is at. I always think about if I were on their team, what would I be advising? And what would I be advising the opposition right now? I would be advising them to increase these assaults on our college campuses and frankly start going to the streets of our cities. And I think we're going to see that as the summertime approaches, as the warm weather approaches. A lot of these colleges right now are revolting, And there's a lot of paid activists inside. They're the same people that we saw in the I call it the summer of love, of summer of 2020, activists from Antifa who were paid activists. So we're going to see more of this. And what I would be telling these people is that we need to continue to do this, right? The other side is that there's no way in the world, no way in the world that we want Donald J. Trump to be the president of the United States again. There's no way in the world that we want people like General Mike Flynn back in the government. No way. And they've done everything that they can possibly do. Steve, a little breaking news here on your show. I received eight subpoenas last night. Okay. So these people are going to do everything that they can. These Marxists, this communist takeover of the United States of America. And I say what I say in the movie that I have out right now is the coup. The coup of this country began on the 5th of January of 2017. In the Oval Office, behind the Resolute desk where Barack Obama was sitting there, Barack H. Obama was sitting there with Biden and his other cohorts. And these people at that time said, we have got to get rid of this man. And that particular discussion was about General Mike Flynn in order to get Trump out of office. And then they have continued to do this. And we are in the throes of a Marxist takeover of the United States of America. Folks, you know, if I were, again, I put my feet into the boots of many of our enemies over the many years that I've served in the military, because that was my role, was to think like our enemy was going to think, and what are the kind of actions that they could take. And I'm telling you, there's no way in the world that they want Donald J. Trump. I mean, look at what they're doing with whatever he's got, 91 felonies, 720 years. You know, this jury that he's up against right now in New York. My belief, if they don't come back with a guilty verdict, I'll be surprised, and I'll eat a little bit of crow here, but I just don't see it. I think that they're going to come back with a guilty verdict, and we're going to find out that here very soon. If they do, this judge is going to put him in jail, just like they got Peter Navarro in jail pending an appeal, right? And this is a very, very serious time, and I was with a group of people. I'm up in Milwaukee right now, sitting in the RV that we're traveling around the country, and I'm up in Milwaukee, and I use the phrase, we are at grave risk here in the United States of America. And grave, there's no stronger word than grave to use when you're talking about the potential, you know, loss of our country, the loss of our republic. And you mentioned up in the previous broadcast there, you're talking with Marie, yeah. I think it's Marie Macy, and you're talking about Matt Boyle and the great, great, incredible reporting that he's gotten. There's some others out there that are breaking news. I mean, this latest thing
hang on 1 second. We're taking a short commercial break.
Considered highly skilled when it comes to intelligence gathering.
33 years in the U.S. Army.
Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. He knew exactly what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding. They had to get rid of Flynn.
President's former national security advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleading guilty today to lying to the FBI.
There was a moment where I just felt like I was drowning.
The president referred to ISIS as the JV team.
Do you feel as though your warnings were ignored?
We all knew that he was one of the most respected generals in the military, plain and simple.
Well, in 2012, he was appointed director of Defense Intelligence Agency. He ordered the first audit of the use of DIA's use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
So I'm in there with these other political appointees. They're all supposed to go in there and tell what they believe to be the truth. What they did was they took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. I was like, I'm not changing it.
Mike Flynn, whatever you think of him or his politics, did not lie, but instead told the truth. And so he was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
President Obama said, but I do have one specific recommendation. Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
I went into the service because I love our country. And I come home and I find out that the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America.
Even had he not served his country, even if he were not a combat veteran. To turn something like this loose on a family, I mean, it's monstrous.
The media was out there in droves.
I went into a very deep depression, like suicidal depression. The only thing that kept me alive was my son.
We always knew that we somehow had to get through it because we knew he wasn't guilty.
Over time, instead of being pounded down below the surface of the ocean, we started to fight. I'm now above the surface. But I can see the shoreline. And I started to swim.
An incredible and powerful film out now about General Mike Flynn. I want to tell a story here. And by the way, I can't recommend more highly for people to watch this film. And particularly, I think it'd be great for the Warren Posse to get together in the living rooms, watch it together, because this is quite a powerful a film about a great patriot and great American. So we win, Mike, as you remember, General, we win early morning hours of the 9th, elections on the 8th, win the early morning hours of the 9th. Associated Press calls it Hillary. Hillary concedes. We get the transition. We're throwing it together. I believe it's on the afternoon of the 9th that we announced President Trump's first pick is going to be his national security advisor, General Mike Flynn. I think the next day, Jared and General Flynn company President-elect Trump down to Washington to go meet with Obama. Reince and I are standing up the transition. And so they come down, they spend the entire day, much longer than we thought, and General Flynn and Jared have meetings with the national security advisors and the chief of staff, and President Trump stays with Obama, and the meeting goes longer. And so he gets back that night, and he tells me, he says, because, you know, I'm always, you know, take down the CCP, take down the CCP, and he says, look, Steve, I got a thing. He says, Obama tells me what we got to really worry about is North Korea. That I said, no, that's a vassal state. That's ridiculous. He says, no, North Korea. He says, North Korea is going to be the complete focus. I said, that's ridiculous. Was there any other thing? He says, yeah, he just had one other thing. Well, number one, North Korea, that's all you got to worry about. Now think about that for a second. And then he said, whatever you do, I just heard you now, so don't keep Mike Flynn. You got to get rid of Mike Flynn. And so Trump said, what do you think? I go, hey, it was a great pick, and they're obviously going to be coming for this guy. What was it of everything that had to go on? Now tell the audience, because you had had a history.
Yeah.
You had been, I think McChrystal's, you had taken intelligence and DIA, really Army intelligence, and you put it on offense, right? And just not information collecting. They knew you were action oriented. And then in DIA, the same thing. You saw the system and you tried to change the system. But I said, man, to target a guy who's a former Army general and basically tell him that don't hire this guy and essentially imply if you hire him, we're going to come after him. What drove that?
Yeah, a couple of things. And I talk about this specifically in the movie, that specific conversation between Trump and Obama. You know, and I also discuss a little bit of my military history. Obama chose me twice for two critical positions in the United States government. One is the assistant director of national intelligence, and then the second was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, right? I mean, so those are appointments by Barack Obama, and I talk about those, and I describe how that takes place, you know. And one of the things, Tucker Carlson's in this film, and Tucker talks in the film, and I'll tease a little bit here about how you have to bring your enemies closer, right? You got to bring your enemies closer, because I was always somebody who challenged the big intel community, and I did, and that story is told in this movie very, very well. It's a very powerful story. But what I want to do is I want to jump from that conversation between Trump and Obama back to what I said earlier about this meeting on the 5th of January of 2017. So, you know, you fast forward about 2 months, right? Just a little slightly less than 2 months, and Crossfire Hurricane, which was to target a group of us that we did not know at the time. We did not know, you know, we suspected that they were spying and all that, but we really didn't know. Crossfire Hurricane and the investigation that they had on me was closed. They found nothing. I was squeaky clean. But on the 5th of January, in the Oval Office, Obama, Biden, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, Yates, Susan Rice were all in that meeting. And that's when they made the decision. And in fact, we have good, strong, I mean, it's clear evidence. People can go look it up. It's online. Agent Barnett, who was the lead agent for the Crossfire Hurricane, gave testimony in September of 2020. It took him that many years because I think he felt guilty. And he basically said in that session, and the whole effort was get Flynn to get Trump. And they knew because of what I had already done and the kinds of things that I had done in DIA, the kinds of efforts that I was taking on at the Defense Intelligence Agency that we talk about in this film, that they had to get me out of there. There's no way in the world that if I stayed there, that we would have even had a Mueller investigation. Now, I will tell you, Steve, and I ain't patting myself on the back here, but had I been able to stay in that position, there would have been no Mueller investigation. And everybody knows that's on the, you know, listens to the War Room and the War Room posse out there knows the Mueller investigation screwed this country and tried to screw a sitting duly elected president of the United States of America. And we know now that nothing came of it, nothing, absolutely zero. Well, that investigation would never have happened had Mike Flynn stayed as the national security advisor in the White House. And they knew, Obama knew, Clapper knew, Brennan knew. They all knew the type of person that I was because I had worked for them. One of the jokes that I talk about is right before I left the Defense Intelligence Agency, I got invited over to the FBI headquarters to have Comey presented me their highest award that they give to anybody. It's called the Director's Medal. He pins it on me, right? A year later, these bastards have me under investigation. I mean, you can't make this up. You can't make up the conversation between the outgoing president of the United States and the incoming president. And I describe this in spades, in detail, in this film. And the film is still number one after 5 weeks on Amazon DVDs. And I think we're number one right now on streaming, at least on Amazon. I know Salem and other things. People can go to flynnmovie.com to the website. It's a powerful movie. I'm doing a 35-city nationwide tour. I'm up in Milwaukee in the bastion of the establishment right here in Milwaukee. We had a group last night, a couple hundred people. It was wonderful. And we are taking on this threat that we are up against, and this threat that we're up against, and it started on the 5th of January. The investigations and everything started prior. You know, these sneaky bastards started prior, but the coup began on 5 January, yep. And we have hard evidence of it. It came out in my case. Go ahead, Steve. You got me on a roll.
Let me ask, this movie's incredible. Yeah, no. By the way, if I can keep you through a short commercial break, just got a couple other things, but hang in for a second. We got a minute on this side. Everybody's got to go get this film. As you saw, the railhead of the coup was 5 January 17 in the Oval Office. Give me a minute on the arc of how we got here today.
Yeah. So what happened was they had to get rid of me. And then I believe, and we talk a little bit about this with some of the people inside the White House and some of that you have a cameo appearance on there, that I believe that the establishment was really trying to get rid of Trump in cahoots with people that were part of the deep state, if you will, right, in Washington, D.C. They really wanted to get Trump out of there within the first 90 days. I mean, remember the 25th Amendment bullshit. Excuse my Irish. But then what they
hey,
Trump is a guy like
Mike. Yeah. Mike.
Go ahead.
Mike, just hang on for a second. I want to develop this. OK, flynnmovie.com, promo code War Room. Go there now. This is a blockbuster. You're going to get the whole history of that set the predicate of how we got here today. General Flynn's going to hang on with us for a few more minutes. He's given a 35-city tour to promote this film. The reviews have been tremendous on it. FlynnMovie.com/War Room. Go there today. This film will leave you rattled but inspired. General Flynn got 8 subpoenas overnight, I think primarily because of his work with election integrity. Remember, he's been a fighter about the stolen election of 2020 from the very first moment. You know, Obama tried to get you out of the administration. Then they came after you. They targeted you. Now we have a revolution in the streets. You've seen how the security apparatus, how arrogant it is. Andrew Giuliani is going to walk out of a courtroom in a second and tell us, give us an update on the show trials. We've got a vast criminal conspiracy. One of the reasons I'm saying Johnson's got to be removed. This conspiracy has been out there. Now they're starting to move on it because we're putting pressure on them. But you've had great people like Jim Jordan and Lisa Devine. They've been suppressed by the establishment on the Hill from going forward to it. General Flynn, once again, how did we get to this spot? Given that, given the railhead of this was Obama in this crowd in the Oval Office with Biden saying we got to get Flynn, but we're going to do, in getting Flynn, we're going to take these guys down. How did we end up here today, sir?
Yeah, well, the first reason we ended up here today is because Donald J. Trump decided to run for president of the United States, and he beat the heir apparent to the communist regime, and that was Hillary Clinton. That's number one. And don't forget any of your war room posse. Don't forget that. And once that happened, their plans to take this country over were shattered. And right now, the American people, this populist movement in our country is sick and tired of it. They went after Trump so hard. They went after me. Then they go after Trump. And I hope I didn't lose you, Steve. You still there? God dang it.
Yeah, we're here, General.
Steve, you still there?
Keep rolling.
Okay.
We're here,
sir. Then they went. So then they come after me. Then they go after Trump. And they continue to go after Trump. They couldn't get him while he was the president of the United States. And then they went after him, and they're going after him now. One of the things that I talk about in the movie, Steve, are assassinations, okay? And I take the audience back to the 1960s and the assassinations of the 1960s. And what our government was capable of doing then was basically assassinating a duly elected president in JFK, and of course, RFK, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and I talk about how we need to at least reassess the assassinations of the 60s to figure out and learn from that what these people are capable of doing right now. And what they're doing is they are narratively assassinating Donald Trump. They narratively assassinated Mike Flynn. They are destroying every modicum, they're trying to destroy our businesses, our families, everything about us to make the American people feel like these people are a danger to democracy. That is total bullshit. They are projecting what they are doing to us. Okay, they have their cronies in the media. They have their cronies in Hollywood, and this is a takeover of the United States of America. There's no other way that I can say that. This is not Republicans versus Democrats. Hell, the Republicans in guys like Speaker Mike Johnson, who's a feckless leader, needs to be tossed. We need bold, courageous leaders right now running our government, and I hope that we have an election in November. I'm not certain that we're going to have an election in November.
General Flynn, hang on a second. Are you concerned, as a guy that spent your career in intelligence and defense intelligence, are you concerned that there could possibly be an assassination attempt on President Trump?
You know, I would say, and this is speculation, but again, if I were on their team, I would not want Donald Trump to be back in the White House. No way in the world. And so they're going to go through a whole range of scenarios. When I say they, these communist Marxists are going to go through a whole range of scenarios to try to get him out of there. Look at what they're doing to him through this lawfare. This is not, there's nothing fair about this. There's two completely different standards of justice in our system of government right now. So they're going after him to try to destroy him and try to put him in jail. And you know this, Steve. I mean, they're trying to do this, and they're going to, and Andrew will give you a good update. They're trying to do that. If they convict him and he's a convicted felon, they're going to throw him in jail. They're going to take away the Secret Service. You know, God knows what will happen, right? But I have got to believe that they have contemplated every single aspect of trying to keep Trump from becoming the president of the United States again. I mean, they already did it in 2020 in the election. I'm not an election denier. What I deny is that we have fair elections. That we do not have fair elections. Everybody knows it in the country. Christ, the various polling for Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, nobody believes that the majority don't believe that Biden, you know, is building back better America, right? Give me a break. So this is a really, really important and a very serious time. I love to joke, Steve. You and I have had a lot of Irish fun together, but this is a very serious time in America. And if people don't get involved in this, in this country, like they have, go ahead, Steve.
You talk about assassinations. When President Kennedy authorized the basically removal coup against President Diem. He authorized a coup, not an assassination. The intelligence services sat there and assassinated him 30 days before him. That's when he understood that the intelligence services were out of control and trying to run the deal. All the observations of Kennedy is that all the blood ran out of him when they told him Diem and his family had been murdered, had been gunned down by the CIA in the back of a panel van heading to the plane, which he had been told was going to take him to safety. He approved the overthrow of the government by the military. He never approved assassination. The intelligence services did it. Are the intelligence services, do you think, more out of control today than they were before we had the Church Commission, sir?
Completely out of control.
I have to agree with General Flynn that a legitimate 2024 election is uncertain. As far as I'm concerned, the people opposing Donald Trump and his supporters have no intention of backing down from their devotion to the Marxist revolution they have unleashed upon us. The United Nations and NGOs running the support programs, bringing the millions of illegal aliens from all over the world pouring across our borders, are doing this for one reason only: to utterly destroy and transform America into a slave state. Many of these people actually believe that global equity, the redistribution of America's individual wealth and resources, is best for humanity. Of course, they also actually believe that they will somehow be exempt from this massive and destructive seizure and redistribution of our property, money, and rights and freedoms. If they remain our leaders, they probably will, for the time being. Remember that key characteristics of totalitarians include self-righteous hate, often disguised as righteous indignation at supposed great injustice, such as the hysterical myth of climate change. No debate, no dissent is tolerated or allowed. They're correct in their views. You are wrong in yours. Period. Another characteristic is endless lies and trickery meant for public consumption to mask the realities of the draconian measures deemed necessary to bring about the vaunted paradise on earth they think will occur once our individual rights and freedoms are extinguished. Another key characteristic is outrageous hypocrisy. As I had said, they intend to keep their money, property, and power. Since being the leaders and collective conscience of humanity, I should say self-appointed collective conscience of humanity, they are so entitled. I urge every one of you to do all you can to ensure that our local elections operations are truly free and fair. There isn't much time left to do so. Many of Donald Trump's supporters are looking for him to miraculously save us from this impending doom hanging over us. But we need an army of Trumps to do this. We are that army. There is no cavalry coming to save us. So each and every one of us must do all they can to save America and ourselves, if there's still time. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of our show today when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us with another show 2 weeks from now in this same time slot. And have a great rest of your day and evening.